Blog Talk Radio.
Our roots began in Africa, where we enjoyed self-determination and freedom, which were rooted in our sovereignty. Peace, family. Welcome to Dare to Win, the Us Lifting Us weekly radio program that airs every Thursday evening from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Dare to Win is the place where we have sobering conversations about the economic plight of Black people and the imperative that we build the global economic machinery that will free us and once again put us on the path of making history. We at Us Lifting Us have developed an exact methodology on how to build this global machinery and pass it forward to our children and future generations. To join tonight's conversation, please call 929-477-2789. Press the number 1 on your phone when you want to make a comment or ask a question. If you prefer to listen on your computer, go to www.usliftingus.com. Scroll down to the bottom of the homepage. Click on the Dare to Win button, then click on Listen Live. At that time, you will be on the Blog Talk Radio site. If you want to get reminders from Blog Talk Radio for upcoming Dare to Win programs, click on the Follow button. Ulu members, we have our own social media community. Please join if you have not already done so. There is a Dare to Win group, and we would like to have your feedback on past Dare to Win programs, as well as topic suggestions for future programs. I'm Sister Q, and joining me for this evening's discussion is Baba Hakima, one of the founding members of Ulu. Tonight's topic is Ulu and New Ujamaa, Building the Infrastructure of Black Economic Determination. Peace, Baba Hakima. How are you doing tonight?
Doing great, Sister, and
it's, I say almost every third Thursday, these third Thursdays seem to come around so fast, but it's always good to be with the family and certainly to be with you. And so I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
Well, we look forward to your conversation, and it does seem to go around fast. However, in its own way, it seems not to come around fast enough, because you always have vital information to share with the family, and we want to get as much of an opportunity to pick your brain as we possibly can. So where would you like to begin tonight's discussion?
Well, maybe reflecting on our annual meeting and convention last week. It was good being with you and the sisters and the brothers from around the country. And, of course, we come together in March of each year. We've been doing this now since 2014. Of course, we missed 1 year because of the COVID virus. But, yeah, we had a good time, a productive time last weekend. For the listening audience family, we came together Friday, Saturday, and Sunday of last week for our annual event. And so one of the things that you mentioned earlier in your intro, talking about the Ulu online community, that was one of the things that we also stressed in our annual meeting. And I want us to really take note of what you, the information that you share, and for members to do a little better in terms of utilizing the online community. And I don't know if you need to stress it even more, but one of the things we're going to be talking about in a moment is the UBCs. And each UBC will be tasked with forming their own group in the Ulu online community, and maybe get some friendly competition started in terms of who can build the best group page and who can talk the most smack or whatever. So, so we need some energy up in there. So, but you do a great job every week in reminding us. So, but that was one of the topics at our annual meeting. And but that was just one topic. There were other topics, and one of the main things that we stressed and we pointed to as targets was the work of building the Ulu based communities, or what we call UBCs. But before I get into that, I just want to take time to kind of reflect. When we think about our history in this country and globally, we had the blessings of Marcus Garvey and the UNIACL under his leadership. And it's almost unthinkable that the Garvey movement was able to start from zero to over 6 million members in less than 10 years. And not only 6 million members, but so many other accomplishments, including a little under 2,000 divisions or chapters scattered throughout the world. And so one of our goals expressed last weekend was to focus on the work of building a minimum of five UBCs, in other words, a minimum of five Ulu chapters, in the period from March to March. That's kind of how we chart our year and our work, from March of year to the March of the next year. So from March of 2023 to 2024, no less than five. And, of course, those are the most important structures when you're building them in their infancy, and then you pick up speed from there. And I'm sure Mark Discovery and the people working with him, those first divisions were the divisions that allowed them to then perfect their prototype and more easily build them out as they continued their growth pattern throughout the world. So that's a good part of what happened last weekend, is pointing to that world. And we also pointed to the UBCs and Ulu in general being infused with what we call New Ujamaa. And we define New Ujamaa as family-centered cooperative economics. And sometimes we say family-centered economics, but I want to correct that in my verbiage. I want to always mention cooperative. So family-centered cooperative economics. So the UBCs that that we develop and build, we want to be certain that the value systems associated with New Ujamaa is infused in that work as well. As you remember, last week we had a younger brother on with us, Stuart Fields from the Outer Banks of North Carolina near the Virginia border. And I had hoped to have him back on with me this evening, but I couldn't raise him. And I hope he's, well, I shouldn't say I hope, but he may be back in Ghana. Because you remember last third Thursday he shared with us that he's a part of a cadre that goes over and in northern Ghana is responsible for a few water wells that they have dug as a service to our brothers and sisters there. And also I want to make mention of Brother Shabaka, who each month has his own show on Dare to Win, and I'm hopeful that he's listening tonight. And but he's not been feeling well, and so we want to lift him up, and if he's able to join us at any point in the discussion, so that we can hear his voice and collectively wish him well and give him strength as well. But you may have some reflections on our coming together last weekend and being together for those 3 days and looking forward to the work that we collectively have to do. What about your reflections from last week?
Well, I found that the speakers were very very inspiring. I think the one that gave me the most to think about was Dr. Tutmosis, because of his he dealt with commitment, and you know the things we commit ourselves to. Sometimes we commit ourselves to things that we're not really interested in, but we just commit because everybody around us is committing. You know, everybody else raised their hand, we raise our hand too. Or, you know, sometimes you raise your hand in the heat of passion. You think, oh, yeah, I could do this. And you don't realize that you have a lot on your plate already and there's really nothing else, no space for anything else. And then you don't know how to acknowledge that you've bitten off more than you can chew and say to somebody, you know, I really would like to do this, but I can't, you know.
Yeah.
And so then we do a poor job trying to make ourselves feel things when we're overextended. And I think in our community, not just Ulu, but all of us who work, do the work that we do in whatever capacity, there's so few of us actually doing the work until we do tend to overextend ourselves and make ourselves sick or wear ourselves out trying to do much more than we're physically capable of doing. As the old people used to say, you know, our hearts are in the right place. our hearts, or they would say something about what we've assigned our hearts and hands to do. Sometimes we assign our hearts and our hands to do it, but our hands just can't keep up, you know.
Yeah.
So I that gave me really to think about and how we allow personalities and different things like that to keep us from doing what we said we would do because somebody else said something we didn't like or stuff like that. So
yeah.
I really, Mama Ulu had us taking notes. So I did take notes on that, and I have to look at, because I don't commit to much. Well, that's the best way to say it, I think. I don't verbally commit to much, but I'll say to myself, I can do this, or I would like to fill in here, or I like to fill in there, but I don't have an outward commitment. And I think maybe an outward commitment is necessary. Because from what I got from Brother Tutmosis is it's necessary that the people around you know who they can rely on or know who's going to do a thing. So if you don't say that you do it, they'll think nobody is doing it. And somebody else will try to pull up the slack or whatever. So the verbal commitment is as important as your internal commitment to yourself, you know, to make sure. So, yeah. So,
okay.
Yeah, that's what I had to chew on for the main thing I had to chew on.
That's good. I want to remind the Ulu family that the entire weekend was recorded. The business section we're going to take out, but the rest of it we're actually going to download and then upload it back to YouTube in a protected area. And the footage from the whole weekend will be available to the members in our back office. So I'll get a chance to go back over Dr. Tutmosis, his piece, what he shared with us, and reflect on, your notes as well. It'll take us another few days to get that up. Because we're going to have to do a little editing. But in the same vein, our annual meeting from last year is in the back office. And I know a lot of members probably haven't gone to play it. But the video footage from the 3 days from last year is in our back office. And we want to do that going forward every year so that we can study the footage and learn from it and also look at it from the standpoint of production in terms of how we can improve as well. So I guess that's an announcement to know that that footage is going to be posted in the back office. And for some of our members who, especially some of our newer members, who have not developed the habit of going into the back office or going into the portal, you mentioned the online Ulu community. We have two sites. Well, we have three. We have what the public or what all of us go to is usliftinguscom. That's our forward our website to the public, a forward facing website. And from there, there's a members only tab right of the join tab. And the first one is into the portal. You have to set up your username and password. And when you do, save your password so you don't have to key it in every time. But at least put your password somewhere where you know where it is and you keep it safe. Now, you can change your password. You can change your email. The thing you can't change is your member ID number. And all of us have a member ID number. And by the way, most members know it, but some members may not know it. But the Ulu back office is built in with accounting features. So each of us have our own personal equity account so that your donations, your contributions, they are registered and tallied up so you can always look at your personal account. And, of course, that second members-only button is into the online community that you spoke of earlier. But when you go to the back office, I want to encourage all of us to go to the tab that says Resource Library, and there is simply a ton of information for your review, your study, your analysis, and one of the videos is the video of our last year's annual meeting. And soon to join it will be the video footage for this year. What I want to do is on our website, and maybe the listening audience who are just joining us for the first time or may not realize it, but if you go on our front page, maybe middle ways of the page, there is a video embedded on our front page, on our home page. And it's a serious question for you. And if you click on that video, you'll see about a three-minute video that lays out our proposition, our question to the black family, to black African family. And it's, you know, it's a serious question for you. And the question is, do you feel we should control the economics of our own community? And then it goes on from there to share information. But one of the things I want to focus on this evening, and I know we've gone over it maybe a couple of times before, but the question, do you think we should control the economics of our community? Many of our brothers and sisters will answer yes to that question. And if we followed up with that, followed up after a yes answer, and ask the second question, and let's say that second question is, do you know other brothers and sisters who would perhaps answer yes to that question? We would get a good number of yeses to that second question as well. What I want to kind of have sink into our spirit, into our psyche, is that the yes answer to that question is power, is the raw material for building a new world. I want us to, you know, lay with that. In our people and in our individual psyche, in our group psyche, there is a yearning for us to be in control of our own affairs. Mm-hmm. So that question speaks to what is in us. And the 100,000, the multiple hundreds of thousands, maybe into the millions of us who would answer yes to that question, is the building material for a new world. Own, control, that speaks to the interests, to the, I guess that's the proper word, the interests of us as a people. So mm-hmm. when we talk about New Ujamaa and then talk about building the UBCs and the infrastructure for economic self-determination for African people in America and beyond, the primary building material, the essence of what it's going to take, starts with that yes response to that question. And then what we do with that yes answer in building out the infrastructure of economic self-determination, of course, that is to be done and accomplished as a part of our work. But what I wanted to do more than anything else is lay on the hearts and minds of the brothers and sisters who are with us this evening and who may listen to the recording later on, is that the raw material, again, for building a new world, and when I say building a new world, I mean building a world with an economic floor that puts us in a position to compete favorably with all other economies on the planet. You know, there's mm-hmm. a global economy, and each group has its part to play. And, of course, we may say that there is an economy operative in our communities and our nations, but it's weak and feeble. It's not strong, and we know mm-hmm. that, and we admit that. But the raw building material for building a new economy, a powerful economy, is already and in position and ready to be molded into the proper vehicles for our rise, for our protection, for our security, for building the kinds of communities and nations that we desire. Part of the work of the membership committee under the leadership of Brother Ankti and the work under the leadership of Brother Shabaka in the Research and Business Development Committee, and also the work under the leadership of Brother Robert White with the Media and Marketing Committee. And for those committees, and of course under the guidance and leadership of the EC, the Executive Committee, under the leadership of Sister Nanana, is to give the new UBCs the the chapters that we form in local community, giving them the tools that they need to work with the yeses, with what is already in us. And it's not only in us, but it has traveled throughout the years in terms of the ancestral spirit that seeks to manifest itself in glorious ways through us. So one of the things that as we do the work here in Atlanta of building UBCs as prototypes to be duplicated in other communities locally and globally, I want to assure the family that there is a strong recognition of the fact that already embodied in the family, in the community, and in a good number of us individually, is that raw material. That yes answer to that question, do you think we should control the economics of our community? So we're prepared to work with that energy, with that knowing, with that spirit to build these strong centers of familyhood. And of course, that is essentially what it is, familyhood. And I don't know if anyone wants to reflect on that, because a lot of times we make the mistake in the conscious community, in our movement, of thinking that that our people have a deficit in terms of what it takes to build communities of business excellence, of cultural excellence, of social excellence. We don't have a deficit. What we have a deficit of, or maybe the engineers who would build the systems that will allow our people to manifest what is in their spirit. So essentially, we have a desire to move from point A to point B. The tracks may have not been laid for that progression. And so maybe what we have a deficit of, or some of us, well, I'll say it this way, maybe what we have a deficit of, or the engineers who would build the tracks for our desire for self-determination, for sovereignty to run on. There's an example, and this is not probably a good example, but it's an example. Elon Musk, Jeff Bezos, and I'm not sure the other party that's building this backbone for taking individuals and cargo from the Earth to the Moon, to Mars, or for communities built in the, away from the Earth. And Elon Musk was clear, and I think Bezos was clear. They're not interested in what goes into outer space. They're interested in building the backbone to take whatever parties decide to take. So their mindset is building the capacity to take people, cargo, up and back. I think the same thing is true with the infrastructure, the transportation infrastructure of America and of other countries. There are people who focus on building the railroads who are not necessarily overwhelmed by what the rails would carry, but they wanted to put the track in place. And so part of our work in Ulu at this precise moment is a clear understanding of what is required, because there is already assets in place in our people. And but anyway, I could say that any number of ways, but I wanted to just express what's on my mind and what's in my heart and the mandate of our members from our convention is to lay the tracks for the desire that's already in us to be more self-determined, to be more in control of the economics of our local communities, and to grow that into regional capacity, to national capacity, and to international capacity. Any reflections, or is there any?
We don't have any hands up, but thinking about what you said, for myself, we go around from place to place. We see our people managing and functioning at a high level of excellence into other people's benches. So we can't say that we don't have a high standard of excellence. I'm sure the people, you know, given our own hotels, we would run our hotels. Those same people that take so much pride in running somebody else's hotel would take it equal pride, if not more, in running our own hotels, because it's more of a reflection on them. I remember when I was a child, the pastor of the church that our family went to made a statement one time about Black people talking about they want independence and they want freedom. And he said, y'all don't even know how to make soap. So what you think you're going to do, blah, blah, blah. And I knew he was wrong, because my grandmother made soap, and she made a very good soap. And people would come to my grandmother's house to get some of her soap. So he was, you know, to me, he was totally off the mark, you know. But there are people who think that way, that we do everything for everybody. They say we can't build cars. Who's building cars in Detroit or wherever cars are built? It's us building the cars. Who's baking the bread? It's us baking the bread. Which our name is just not in the title of the company. And what the new Ujamaa process will do is change that. Our name will be in the title of all of these ventures. At least that's the way I see it, you know. That's the way I see it.
Exactly. And the big difference on the back end is that because of the way we will organize and have organized our economics, we replace the what's generally the principal owner and the parties that take away the massive degree of the benefits in our model, of course, because it's owned by us, the surplus value belongs to us as well. And we use that not to to create billionaires. We use it to build our communities. Yes, there may be some marginal benefits, and we want to build that into our system to encourage the aggregation of resources. But we're looking at a system that is not based on capitalist model, where it's individually centered, or the socialist communist model where it's state-centered. Ours is the sweet middle, where it's family-centered. And we can operate our system under any nation-state construct. Certainly, it would be preferable if it was Ujamaa running the state as well. But we can build from where we are utilizing the three factors that are mentioned in this short video on our website is by developing an effective method for aggregating or pooling resources. That's the first requirement. The second requirement is developing effective methods for using our aggregated resources to build a network of community-owned business enterprises. And these community-owned business enterprises, the exciting thing is that they will be run cooperatively. They will benefit the worker and the community because it's built into the formula that you not only pay the worker a living wage, but the worker, if the enterprise is successful and produces surplus capital, then they own a share of that as a worker. And also the worker hopefully is an ULU member and also is taking advantage of the profit sharing method that's available to members. So there's the potential for direct benefits to accrue to the worker through salary, through profit sharing, and then through bonus for the success of the business. And in addition, ULU, as a 501c3 entity that's part of our structure, we will be part of the surplus will be plowed back into the community through charitable giving. And then the third aspect of it is our overall strategy, formula, value of the growth and any surplus being plowed back into the community for the purpose of growth and security. And so those three elements looked at on a cycle, aggregating resources, knowledge, labor, capital, then fashioning those into productive units in the community that create jobs, that provide needed goods and services and stimulate the economic viability of the community, and then building that as an infrastructure of community-owned enterprises, both small, medium, and large, in almost every industry that you can think about. Not only startups, but acquisitions, and in some cases, partnerships with already existing or newly formed enterprises that we don't own or we didn't create or purchase outright, but in partnership with some other entity that's already in existence. But we can build starting with what Shabaka sometimes called low-hanging fruit, maybe in the service industries, the retail industries. But like what has happened in some of the models that we've looked at, we look at models that include banking, insurance, manufacturing, transportation. So as we build, we will be looking at progressively larger and larger enterprises And we won't only look in communities in America or the Caribbean or South America, but we'll look for opportunities wherever they exist, but certainly in the motherland. The capacity to build out this this structure, as you indicate, we've demonstrated the ability to perform in an excellent manner in service to other cultures, but we've also demonstrated it in service to ourselves. You know, we talk about Black Wall Street, and by the way, we visited the new Black Wall Street mall here in the Atlanta metropolitan area. In specific, we went there. I think I mentioned it to you that Brother Mukasa celebrated his 80th birthday, and we had I would imagine close to 1,000 people in that room. And it was really nice. But the edifice is nice as well. So for brothers and sisters coming to Atlanta, you know, please visit the new Black Wall Street Mall and take some time to visit it and, you know, stuff your pockets with some money to do business when you go there. But but when we talk about business excellence, not only was there Black Wall Street in Tulsa, but there were more than 100 communities of business excellence in the latter part of the 18th century and the beginnings of the 19th, where we had these communities throughout the country. And so we demonstrated business excellence when it was to benefit us. And, of course, we were attacked in various ways, and those communities dwindle. And it's very difficult to find working models of what we accomplished in that period today. And so the job is to turn that around. I'm not sure how much time we have left, and but I would encourage if Brother Shabaka is in the listening audience, for him to press one on his phone so we can hear his voice. And if he's not, he's getting some rest, because he's typically with us every Thursday. And you know, we appreciate his efforts. And is there anything else that I might cover, sis, before we kind of wind it down?
I can't think of anything. We do have about 10 minutes, 11 minutes. So if anyone that's listening has some direction they would like to point you in, we could take a question or two or a comment or two at this point. And I was thinking of what you said about the Black Wall Street. You know, we always hear, particularly the one in Tulsa, we hear the story of it being burnt down, but we don't hear the story of it being rebuilt. I think it was within 5 years, and in 10 years it was much greater and much more, you know, it was just much more. And I think that is not just that Black Wall Street, but the other ones that were attacked and came back stronger. I think that is the reason for the segregation thing, because they saw that, you know, like the phoenix, we rise. If you leave us alone, you burn it down, we'll build it better. You know, so.
Yes, indeed.
They couldn't keep going that way. So they had to incorporate, you know, incorporate us into their stuff and force our stuff to to die, you know. So,
yeah, yeah.
So as much as they talk bad about us, the way they treat us and respond to us says that we are a force to be reckoned with.
Yeah, yeah. So they understood that if they burned it down or they tore it down, they attacked us, we'd build it back. So what they did, they took a different route of manipulating our taste and our appetite. And so they invited us across the tracks, where it used to be they would hang us if we crossed the tracks. But they understood that it was in their self-interest to invite us across the track, to and, you know, to accept our dollars. And but yeah, I went to school in Durham, North Carolina, and the quote unquote Black Wall Street that was in Durham, we call it Hayti. The richest black institution in the world was based in Durham. That was North Carolina Mutual Life Insurance Company. And I've mentioned on some of my some of my more past visits to Dare to Win, that as a freshman in college, we would go on a bus tour downtown, and we would go to the top of the tallest building in the city, and that was North Carolina Mutual Life Insurance Company, a black-owned business enterprise. And for those of you who are not very familiar with our website, if you click on the tab that says Our Story, there's a video about Durham, North Carolina, and it talks about the insurance society that was developed and perfected later on to become this very powerful insurance company. And when I moved to Atlanta in 1981, there was a small airline flying out of Atlanta called Atlanta Air. It was a black-owned airline. And the major financier of that enterprise was North Carolina Mutual Life Insurance Company. Yeah, but you're so correct that, you know, it's known that when we're left alone or when we leave them alone and do our thing, we can accomplish magnificent things and heights. And so we just need to be reminded that, you know, the sovereign psyche, the sovereign intellect needs to be focused on building and securing that part of the environment that suits us and that allows us to survive with quality and protection. All right, sis. I would encourage brothers and sisters, particularly those in Atlanta, to be mindful of us reaching out to you in the coming days and weeks. And we're going to take our time, and we're going to be meticulous in terms of getting feedback from our brothers and sisters, from our members, as we build the prototype of the UBC, the Ulu-based community. And for brothers and sisters who are not in Atlanta, but you have an interest in there being a strong Ulu chapter in your community, where we take on the task of building out the system of economic self-determination in your local community. If you have an interest in staying abreast of the building out of this, and maybe even have some thoughts and contributions, reach out to us from our website, the email address on the website and the phone number on the website. And we can enfold you, even if you're not in Atlanta, into some of the discussions in terms of building out the prototype. And once the prototype is built, then there will be considerable resources dedicated to duplicating the UBC. That's the Ulu Base Community. That's the primary tool, building tool, for our system. In other words, Nu'ujamaa, or what we say is family-centered cooperative economics as our economic system, the primary building apparatus or tool are Ulu members in the local community who focus on basically three areas, building community among Ulu members, and then secondly, building community among Ulu and other organizations and institutions in the community, and then thirdly, focusing on developing the ideas and business plans for new businesses to be located in the community. But that work is to be done by an informed, energetic, forward-looking UBC, Ulu-based community. And we look forward to there being communities or areas of a city or a town where you can incrementally see the progress being made in us controlling the economics of that community, neighborhood, business district, whatever it may be, so that not only can you create pie charts or statistics to suggest that we're incrementally gaining greater and greater control, but you can sense it in the spirit of the community. You can sense it in the children. You can sense it in the elders, because it becomes manifest that this is a zone, a community, an area of this town, of this village, where, and I'll stress village because that's Unkti wants us to use village more and more, but it becomes evident that the village is on the rise. As a matter of fact, we had a program called the Village Up Campaign some years ago. But it becomes evident and manifest that this is becoming, and this is, at a point, our turf, and the feeling and the benefits from it being our turf. I think we've taken care of an hour.
Oh,
right,
yes,
in
yes.
It. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So thank you, Baba Hakima.
Well, thank you, sis, and you hold this down every week, and I'm not sure how long you've been in the saddle, but you've been more than a year now, right?
Probably. I think so.
Yeah,
but I'm not
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah.
Yes.
But Dare to Win is probably 4 to 5 years old. But you've taken it on your shoulders to provide the leadership and guidance, and we really appreciate that and look forward to joining you and whoever the guest is or program is for next week. Thank you, sis.
Okay. Thank you, Baba. And we want to thank everyone that joined us this evening. We invite you to join us again next Thursday evening at 9 o'clock Eastern Time for another installment of Dare to Win. Peace.
Them that's got shall get, them that's not shall lose. for me, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own. Yes, the strong gets more, while the weak ones fade. Empty pockets don't ever make the grave. Mama may have, Papa may have, but God bless the child that's got his own, that's got his own.
His own.